Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and the show is Word for Word here on Eurofolk Radio. And this show is for Thursday, September the 8th, and we will be covering the book of Numbers, chapters 11 and 12 today. And the actual name of the book of Numbers in the Hebrew is Bamidbar, and it means in the wilderness. So let's get started. These are going to be some rock'em sock'em chapters, and I'm going to give you some information that you might not have had before. So let's get rolling here. Oh, by the way, if you want to read along, my stuff is posted on Anglo-Saxon Israel under Anderson's Old Testament. I've been upgrading it with computerized versions. It was just scanned from the more primitive copies. I've got Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus done. I'm still working on computerizing completely this book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, but they're fairly close as they are. So Numbers and Deuteronomy will be okay, and I'm going to get the rest of the stuff done as I can. I mean, I'm burning the candle at both ends and in the middle, just like Eli. And I'm doing five shows a week, and then I do a show in the evening with Eli on Friday, and one on Sunday. And when he gets back, I show up occasionally on one-to-one on Saturday if he hasn't got anybody scheduled. But it is a joyful experience. I love working with Eli, and we really hammer him, which is a good feeling. So let's get into chapter 11 here, and I'm going to point out some things that will clear a few things up. First one of chapter 11. And when the people complained, that's 596, it was evil or displeasing, 7451, to the ear, 241, of Yahweh. And Yahweh heard, and his anger was kindled. Now, when they say anger is kindled, anger is 639. That's literally the nose. And 2734 is to become heated or to kindle. His nose got hot. That's an idiomatic usage of these words, as in when you get really angry and you're breathing hard and your nose turns red with blood and gets hot. That's what they were talking about. His nose got hot. Well, in English, it translates to anger was kindled. So. That's the difference between the Hebrew and the English. Okay. His anger was kindled, and the fire of Yahweh burnt, 1197. That's to destroy. Burnt among them and consumed in the uttermost parts, that's one word, 7097, of the camp. Verse 2, And the people cried to Moshe, and when Moshe prayed, 6:4-1:9, to Yahweh, the fire was quenched, 8:2-5:7. Verse 3, and he called the name of the place Taberah, 8:4-0:4, because the fire of Yahweh burnt among them. Well, 8:4-0:4 comes from 1197. When I said it burnt among them, 1197 is burnt, and that is Ba'ar, to consume by fire. So that is the root of the words Taberah. Okay? It might be Taba'arah, but it's Taberah in the spelling that they've got, either an E or an A in the middle. We're not sure because the Masoretes got a hold of it. So, and here we go. Remember a couple of books back when they were craving food, who's going to give us flesh to eat and all that? Well, here we go. Pay close attention to verse 4. And the mixed multitude, 6:28, that was among them, crave food, 8:3-7:8 and 1:83 combined. Okay. They have fell a lusting in the King James Version, but that is incorrect. That's 183 is to crave something, and 8:3-7:8 is food. Okay. The King James plays fast and loose with a lot of stuff, and they just put in whatever they wanted to put. So, the mixed multitude were the non-Israelite people that had come out with them from Mitzrayim, because they were either slaves or servants, or they just wanted to tag along to get away from the Hyksos. Well, they weren't of Israel. And they were the ones that were complaining. Okay? And the mixed multitude that was among them craved food. And the children of Israel also wept, 105:8 again, and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? The mixed multitude were the instigators of this. And we were warned, don't have these mixed people with you. By golly, they came out with them from Mitzrayim. And there we are. I mean, you don't need a ton of bricks to fall on you to figure it out. Verse 5. We remember the fish, 17:10, which we ate in Mitzrayim freely. 2,800. 17:10. Verse 5, the fish, 17:10, daga, and that was rejected by the rulers as unfit to eat, so they gave it to the Israelites. So they're not telling the truth there, and if free is 2,800, freely, well, of course it was free. They were going to throw it out, so they gave it to the Israelites, and they ate it. It was free. Rejected by the rulers. This fish is no good. Give it to them. Give it to the Hebrews. So there's not quite a truth-telling going on here that should be going on. Okay. Yeah, they got fish, and it was free, but that's because the rulers didn't want it. And it was be like throwing out scraps that are starting to go bad in your refrigerator, throwing it out and let the hogs eat it. Or the dogs, feed old meat to the dogs, and they'll eat it, it won't hurt them. But they were given the rejected fish to Israel. And now, oh, we remember that fish. Yeah, I bet you do. It looked good now, didn't it? Even though you turned your stomach back then. So, fess up, tell the whole truth. We remember the fish which we ate in Mitzrayim freely. The cucumbers, 71.80, and the melons, 20, and the leeks, 26.82. Yeah, I imagine. They grew them themselves. And the onions, 1211, and the garlic, 7.762. Now, our being, 5315, is dried away, 3002. Nothing at all beside this man in our sight. Now, that's not talking about a human being. Man, that's what they call manna, but in Hebrew, it's man. 4478. It's not manna. That's that they added to it. Okay. And the man was as coriander, 1407 seed. Coriander seed. And the color of it was as the color of bdellium, 916. And 11, 7, and 8, here you can reference Exodus 16, verses 13 through 15. Bdellium is bdolach. And it's an aromatic resin. It's sort of a golden color. Okay. Verse 8. The people went about and gathered and ground 2912 in hand mills 7347 or beat it 1793 in a mortar 4085 and baked it 1310 in pans 6517 and made cakes 5692 of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh 3955 olive oil. Verse 9, and when the dew 2919 fell upon the camp in the night, the man fell upon it. And verse 9 here, 11:9, you can reference Exodus 16, verses 13 through 15. This is a repeat of what was in Exodus. But you're getting more information here in Numbers. They've completed some of the story. Who was complaining? Why was a mixed multitude? Verse 10, then heard Moshe the people weeping, 1058, within their clans, 4940, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled greatly. It was also evil in the sight of Moshe. They were instigated by these mixed multitudes, just like Israel is instigated and manipulated by the mixed multitude today through the Talmud vision. And the white boys are walking around with their hat on backwards with their pants down around their buttocks. And yeah, what it is, what it be like. Yeah, what it is, bro. You know, they're called wiggers. Okay? They don't want to be white. They want to be black. Because they think black is cool because they see it on the devil vision. Well, wrong. It's not cool. All right? Sorry. And Moshe said to Yahweh in verse 11, "Why have you afflicted," 7, 4, 8, 9, "your servant? And why have I not found favor," 25:80, "in your sight, that you lay the burden," 4:8:5:3, "of all these people upon me?" He's getting sick of this. Verse 12, "Have I conceived all these people?" Conceived is 2029. "Have I begotten them?" 3:2:05. "That you should say to me, carry them in your bosom." And the bosom is in your shirt at the waist, okay? You could tuck stuff in there to carry stuff. "As a faithful father," 5:3:9, "carries a sucking child," 3:2:4:3, "unto the land which you swore unto their forefathers." Now he's thinking, man, I'm going to have to put up with this until we get to the promised land? Oh, no, man, these people are bugging me. Well, 13, "From where should I have flesh to give to all these people? For they weep to me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat." You can imagine all that whining going on. And there's poor Moshe trying to deal with it. He's the leader. And of course, they all come whining to Moshe. 14, "I am not able to bear all these people alone because it is too heavy," that's one word, 3:5:1:5, "for me." He's really upset. Verse 15, "And if you deal thus with me, kill me." 2:0:2:6, "Please kill me. If I have found favor in your sight, and let me not see my wretchedness." 7:4:5:1. That reminds you of Job? Jonah, rather? Not Job, Jonah. Well, Job, too. He said, "Oh, just kill me." You know, just... That's what his wife wanted him to do anyway. Some wife. I'd get rid of her. 16. "And said Yahweh to Moshe, gather to me 70 men of the elders," 2:2:05, "of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and officers," 78:60, "over them, and bring them into the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you." Verse 17, "And I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take of the Spirit," 7:3:07, that's the Holy Spirit, "which is upon you," now Yahweh put it on him, "and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you do not bear it alone." Well, Moshe had so much of the Holy Spirit. I mean, he had to have to speak with Yahweh like that. And to do all what he was doing as Yahweh's chosen spokesman, he was loaded with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, "And say you to the people, sanctify yourselves," that's 6:9:4:2, "in preparation for tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh, because you have wept in the ears of Yahweh, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Mitzrayim." It wasn't well with them in Mitzrayim. Give me a break. They were beating them and wouldn't let them have straw to make bricks. And How soon they forgot. Well, how soon do we forget here today? Therefore, Yahweh will give you flesh and you shall eat. He's going to shut them up. How much irritation do you think he's feeling with the whining of the Israelites today? All these people are doing this and they're doing that and all, and I'm just so sick of all of that and Well, it's not good. All our problems are because of all our disobedience. Okay? He's really gonna put it on these people here, just like he's putting it on us right now. Verse 19, you shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days. Verse 20, until a month of days, until it goes forth from your nostrils. 6:39, and it is loathsome, 2:2:1:4, to you, because you have despised, 3:9:8:8, Yahweh, which is among you, 71:30, and you have wept before him, saying, why for this did we go forth from Mitzrayim? You don't remember the parting of the Sea of the Reeds and all the miracles and the death of the firstborn and the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire and all the protection that you've got. You don't remember that now, do you? Okay, you want flesh? Oh, boy. Verse 21, and said Moshe, 600,000 foot soldiers, 7:2:7:3, of the people I am among. And you said, flesh I will give them to eat a month of days? Shall the flocks and herds be slaughtered for them? Or shall the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice for them? Moshe couldn't figure out how he was going to do it. Verse 23. Now, this is all new. See, this wasn't in the other books yet. This is new information here. Verse 23. Said Yahweh to Moshe, is the hand of Yahweh grown short? Grown short is 7:1:1:4. This is as being insufficient. And 3:0:2:7, the hand was the right hand, and it's a symbol of power. In other words, if you would rephrase it in English, is the power of Yahweh insufficient? That's what he's asking them. Is the hand of Yahweh grown short? You shall see whether my word shall be brought about or not. Brought about is 71:36. Ooh, he's getting a little testy. Moshe asked him, how are you going to do this? And he says, don't worry about it, boy. And to paraphrase it, you think I can't give them food? After I created the whole universe, I can't give them flesh to eat? Give me a break. There's nothing beyond Yahweh's power. And we're going to find that out in these days too. O ye of little faith. Now, I'm not talking here to the Christian identity people that already believe. I'm talking to you guys that are sitting on the fence, just teetering back and forth, deciding which way you're going to topple. We're running out of the grace period time, folks. And when he finally decides, as he did with these people, right there, enough is enough, that grace is going to stop. And Yahshua Messiah is coming back, and you better read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 about the part where he's coming back with flaming fire and his mighty messengers. And if you didn't make your decision to serve Yahweh and be one of Yahshua's sheep in his flock, you're going to be among the goat people, and he's going to put the wrath on you. I don't want you to come to Yahshua because I'm trying to scare you, but I'm not going to hide the fact that the wrath of Yahweh is coming. I don't want you to have to go through that. I really don't. I'm going to grieve and feel sorry for the people that just won't listen. Continuing on. Chapter 11, verse 24. And went forth Moshe and spoke to the people the words of Yahweh, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and stood them around the tent. Verse 25. And came down Yahweh in a cloud and spoke to him and took 680, that's the Strong's number, of the spirit that was upon him, took some of it, that massive amount that Moshe had, and put 5414 it upon 5921, the men of the elders, 2205. And it was when rested 5117 upon them the spirit, they prophesied 5012 and did not cease 3254. You can imagine the amount of the spirit that was upon Moshe, and he just took an itty bitty little bit of it and put it on each of these men, and these men became prophets with that little bit of the Holy Spirit. Verse 26, but there remained two men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, 419, and the name of the second, 8145, Medad, 4312, and rested upon them the spirit, and they were of them that were written, 5012, but had not gone forth to the tent, and they prophesied in the camp. They were supposed to go, but didn't quite make it. And the Spirit still was on them. Verse 27, and there ran 7323, a young man, 5288, and told Moshe and said, Eldad and Medad prophesy in the camp. Verse 28. And Yahshua, 3091, son of Nun, 5126. Now he was Moshe's second in command. He was the guy that helped Moshe and ministered to him and made sure that everything was okay with him. He was looking out for Moshe. And Yahshua, son of Nun, the servant of Moshe, of the young men, 979, said, My Lord Moshe. Now that's 1:1:3. My Lord. My Master. My Lord. That's proper right there. Because he was under Moshe. Moshe was his boss. My Lord Moshe, forbid them. That's 3:6:0:7. 29. And said Moshe to him, are you envious for my sake? 7:0:6:5. Oh, that. 4:3:1:0:5:1:0:4. Oh, that all the people of Yahweh were prophets. 50:30. Because put Yahweh his spirit upon them. And he asked Yahshua, because Yahshua was very loyal to Moshe. Are you jealous for my sake? Because other people prophesy, not just me? You know? And it's not Joshua. It's Yahshua, the same name as the name of the Messiah. And it means Yah is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. All through the Old Testament, he says, I am your Redeemer. I am your Savior. It's all through. So yeah, and he became Yahshua. He manifested himself in the body of a man like us. An Adamite. So he could go through all this horrible stuff that he had to go through to carry our sins for us. Well, there you go. Verse 30. And gathered, 6:22, gathered Moshe in the camp, he and the elders of Israel. They all came together. Verse 31. And a wind, 7:3:0:7, that's a ruach, that can mean wind or spirit or breath. It has multiple uses. A ruach kadosh is the Holy Spirit. 7:3:0:7 being ruach, and kadosh means set apart or holy, 6:9:4:4. And a wind went forth from Yahweh and brought quails, 7:9:5:8, from the sea and left them, 5:2:0:3, by the camp for a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, 2 cubits high upon the surface of the ground. He dumped a bunch of quails on them. 5:20. Verse 32. And rose up the people all that day and all that night and all the next day. And they gathered, 6:22, the quails. And he that gathered the least, 4:5:9:1, that's gathered the least, gathered 10 homers, 2:5:6:3, and they spread all abroad for themselves round about the camp. A cubit's 18 inches. That's 3 feet high of quails just squirming all over each other. Here's all your flesh. This is what you're going to eat for a month. Verse 33. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, before it was cut up, 3:7:7:2, the wrath of Yahweh was kindled against the people, and Yahweh smote the people with a very great plague. Verse 34, and he called the name of that place Kibroth Hataawah, 6:9:1:4. Because there they buried the people that had craved. 1:83. That's the mixed multitude. And the Israelites that were instigated by them and rebelled. Verse 35, the people journeyed from Kibroth Hataawa to Katzaroth, 2698, and abode at Katzaroth. Well, the mixed multitude is still with us, and it still gives us problems, and it's still instigating us. And they pretend to be of Yehuda, and they are not. Let's get into chapter 12. Here's an interesting thing, and I'll elucidate on this. Verse 1, and spoke Miriam, 4813, and Aharon against Moshe because of the Cushith, 3751, woman he had taken, 3947, for a Cushith woman he had taken as a wife. Now, 3751 is referenced in Genesis 10:6. Cush was the son of Ham, and Mitzrayim was the son of Ham, and the Mitzrayim were called Chami, that's Hamites, by the Hebrews, and both the Cushi and the Chami were of Adamic seed. This was not an Ethiopian woman. This was a Cushi. She was of the seed of Ham and was Adamic. He did not marry a non-Israelite. Didn't marry a Negro. She was a Cushite. Verse 2, and they said, has indeed spoken only to Moshe? Has he not also spoken by us? And Yahweh heard it. They're saying, well, Yahweh didn't just speak to Moshe. He spoke to us too, because Miriam was a prophetess. Remember that? And Aharon was the high priest. Verse 3, now the man Moshe was very humble, 6035, more than all Adams that were upon the surface of the ground, 127. Of course he was humbled. Being in the presence of Yahweh is a humbling experience. Very, very humbling. Very, very humbling. Verse 4. Spoke Yahweh suddenly, 6597, to Moshe, and to Aharon and to Miriam. Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting. And they three came out. Verse 5, and came down Yahweh in a pillar, 5982, of cloud, and stood in the door of the tent and called Aharon and Miriam, and they both came forth. Verse 6, and said he, hear now, 4994, my words, if there is a prophet among you, Yahweh will make himself known to him in a vision. 4759, and will speak to him in a dream. 2472. Verse 7. Not so, my servant Moshe, and all my house. He is faithful. Now, verse 7 of chapter 12, you can reference Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2. Verse 8 of chapter 12. Mouth to mouth I shall speak with him in appearance, 4758, and not in riddles, 2420. And the form, 8544, of Yahweh he shall behold. Why then were you not afraid, 3372, to speak against my servant Moshe? Verse 9, and the anger of Yahweh was kindled against them, and he departed. verse 10. And departed the cloud from upon the tent, and behold, Miriam was leprous, 6, 8, 7, 9, as snow, 79, 50. And Aharon looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Now you can reference verse 10 here in the book of Yashar, that's Jasher, chapter 83, verse 31. Verse 11, and said Aharon to Moshe, alas, 994, my Lord, 113, please, 4994, lay not the sin to 403 upon us, wherein we had done foolishly, 2973, and wherein we have sinned, 2398. Now, 2398 means to miss the mark of duty and responsibility. He was really upset over his sister because they were a family. Miriam was the oldest. Then came Aharon. Then came Moshe. Verse 12. Do not let her be as one dead. 4191. Of whom the flesh is half, 2677, consumed, 398, when he comes forth from his mother's womb. In other words, a stillborn child, a corpse, born a corpse. 13, and cried, 6817, Moshe to Yahweh, saying, heal her, 7495, heal her now, O El, 410, please. Verse 14, and said Yahweh to Moshe, if her father had only spit, 3417, doubled, had only spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? 3637, to be ashamed for 7 days. Let her be shut out, 5462, from the camp 7 days. And after that, let her be gathered in. He was going to put shame on her and cast her out of the camp for a week. And verse 14, you can reference Numbers 5, 2 and 3. 15, and Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that the people journeyed not until she was gathered in. Verse 16, and afterward the people left from Katzeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. 6290. Now that ends chapter 12, and they have played with this chapter mercilessly in the King James and others. They have put Ethiopia in there instead of Cush. Hebrew Cush was not in Ethiopia. It was in the south of Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt. That's where the Cush, Hebrew Cush was. Now Ethiopia today is a Negro nation. The demographics racially in those days is not the same racial demographics of today in those regions. The Mitzrayim have mixed. They are no longer pure. They are no longer Adamic, of the seed of Mitzrayim, son of Ham. They are a mixed multitude today. Ethiopia is not Cush. It was called Cush later, but that was a misnomer. That was an error. Ethiopia is a black country. It was not Ethiopia that Moshe married from, and he had other wives. He married a Cushite. Mitzrayim and Cush were of the son were sons of Ham, not H-A-M, C-H-A-M. And they were called Hamites. They were related. They were white. Cush was not cursed either and founded his own nation close to Mitzrayim. That's why it was on the south of Mitzrayim. Hebrew Cush was down there. They were back traded back and forth. And Moshe, while he was living there, met a Cushite woman. She was Adamic seed line. Now your churchianity, your Judeo-Christians, will say that Moshe married a Negro. Because they are liars. They are ignorant. They don't know the scriptures. They don't read. They don't study. They will believe anything the black-robed guy says up at the pulpit. They'll swallow anything. The television, the Talmud vision, brainwashes the people for that. Now you have to remember who Moshe was. Moshe, still today, was Yahweh's greatest servant and prophet. He gave the law to the people. Yahweh spoke directly to him and he gave the Torah to the people. What does it say in the Torah? Each kind unto its kind. I mean, he was the one that dictated this to the scribe. And he spoke to Aharon. And Aharon spoke to the people. He would never violate Yahweh's law. Would never do that. He's not going to go and mix race. This is a lie of churchianity today. More apostasy from the pulpit. And they've promoted this, and promoted this, and promoted this. The same way they say, Jesus was a Jew, and he was the king of the Jews. Yeshua was his name. He was not a Jew. He was of the tribe of Yehuda, pure blood, holding the kingship of the royal house of Yehuda. Let Yah be praised. That's what that means. He was of the royal house. The scepter shall be with Yehuda until Shiloh, to whom it belongs, comes for it. Well, he was here for a while. He surrendered his life and covered over our sins with his blood. And he's coming back. He's coming back to reign. He will come back for the scepter and will be our eternal king. The Bible doesn't lie. But the people twist what's in the Bible and they lie. And the Masoretes changed a lot of the words. Well, I read a lot of the words without the Masoretic vowel points. Because they're unreliable and are only a suggestion for pronunciation, and the other purpose of them is to twist and pervert. But the actual Hebrew letters, they pretty much didn't mess with. They just added these little dots and dashes and squiggles. And people try to use that. Well, you have to go back And you have to actually learn the words and do the exegesis on the words and find out what they're really saying. I don't read the Jewish translation of it. You want to see a perverted translation? The Jewish English translation of the Hebrew is an abomination. It's ridiculous. It's comical in its error. And I thought the King James was bad. And it is. It is. The King James is a mess. But if you have the right reference books, starting with Strong's. Strong's is not the be-all, end-all. And Strong is an error in his definitions in many, many instances. Not all. It is a good reference book. It will get you started. But they make the mistake in publishing it, and they put how it's used in the English with not enough separation as to what it actually means. And people think, well, that's what it says in the King James. It's accurate. No. That's how it's used, not its definition. The definition part in Strong's is different than the usage part. There's two sections, and they don't give enough separation. Well, you can get the Word Study Old and New Testament Bible things from AMG Publishers, which I also have, and it will give you the Strong's numbers above the name, and their dictionary is much better than Strong's dictionary as far as definitions, but they are also skewed toward Judeo-Christianity. Now, if you want to find out what things actually mean, and you learn to use the Hebrew letters and you understand how the spelling is, you can get the Brown Driver Briggs Gesenius lexicon from Hendrickson Publishing. I think it's Hendrickson. Yeah, Hendrickson Publishing. Make sure you get the Gesenius lexicon, because the Brown Driver Briggs does not have all the information that the Gesenius version has. Strong's used Gesenius's work to do his concordance. Gesenius is before him and is a much more exhaustive definition, a much more exhaustive dictionary. It has the Aramaic and the Syriac and the Arabic and all of that. And it is Old Testament only. It does not go into the New Testament at all. The Word Study series is a series of four books. The Old Testament Dictionary, the New Testament, and the New Testament Dictionary. The New Testament is straight King James, but all of this is King James, but they have the Strong's numbers. The New Testament Dictionary is much better as far as accuracy of the Greek, because Spyros Zodiotis, who is Greek, did the translations, and he is, it's pretty good. I also have Thayer's for the Greek. I have Josephus, Herodotus, Eusebius. I have the Wycliffe Bible. I have all kinds of Bibles. I have Vine's a dictionary. That's not real great. I would, if I had to buy it, I wouldn't waste my money. be quite honest, it's very incomplete, and you'll find a few things in it. So I have it just because I'm doing what I'm doing. They're not that expensive, all of this stuff. You can get the works of Josephus, which will reveal a ton of stuff. Artisan Sales publishes all the old books that they took out. The Book of Enoch, which I have, the Book of Jubilees. I have the Book of Yashar, the Book of the Upright. That's what it means. It's called Jasher. I have an exhaustive library here. I have Jewish Publication Society, Tanakh. I completely ignore the English. I use just the Hebrew lettering in it on the opposite side of the page for Hebrew. It is pretty much accurate. I'll have to give them credit for that. That's Reform Jewry, and they haven't messed with the Hebrew. Now you get into the Art Scroll series, they have changed the Hebrew. That's your Orthodoxy, your real hardcore Hasidic Jews. They have messed with the Hebrew itself. They are very inaccurate and very biased. They are highly Talmudic, where the JPS is not. I ignore their English translation because it's a joke. It's ridiculous. I just use the Hebrew letters, and I don't pay attention to the Masoretic vowel points. I don't. I know the words. You know, I can read it without the vowel points. And where the vowel points are in error a great, great deal. You cannot trust Masoretic vowel points. So don't. They skewed the text by their tampering. And that's what they did. It's a tampering. I believe in the scriptures as it was originally written before anybody messed with it. And with my translations, I have done my very, very best to take it back to that. I have not rewritten the Bible. I have un-rewritten the Bible, removing their corruption wherever I could. I've restored the name of Yahweh throughout and all the places where they have put the Lord Adonai. I have removed that and I have put Yahweh where it belongs. They have substituted Elohim in a number of spots instead of Yahweh. I have changed that back to Yahweh. It should not be Elohim, it should be Yahweh. And they have done their very best to remove the holy name. Well, see, their English translation doesn't have the name of Yahweh in there at all. It has the Lord. But even their own people, most of them don't read Hebrew. And they don't use the Torah anyway. They go by the Talmud, whatever the rabbis tell them. And they've left the Tetragrammaton, the YHWH in Hebrew, in the whole text. It's in there. It says something entirely different in the English. But if you read the Hebrew, which I do, it says Yahweh. I'll talk to you tomorrow on Friday. And we'll get back in, starting with chapter 13. I will say Shalom Aleichem to you now, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Yahweh bless.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus. Jesus, go.